You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound, and it's time for music today, which means it's time to welcome Will Hodgkinson, rock and pop critic for The Times, into the studio. Will, welcome back from Wet Wales, which was the last time we met in a field.
At the Green Man.
At the Green Man. Sounds like we were kind of like having a duel or something. That's the last time we met in a wet field.
Exactly.
Pistols at Dawn,
yeah.
which was all folk and rock and rock and roll, a little bit wet, but it didn't dampen our spirits.
I think it was fantastic, and I think actually it was the truly British thing where you know it's going to rain, you accept it, you moan about it because it's fun to moan, and then you go and have a great time.
And you can handle it. The ciders and the beers help.
It's fine.
Help,
it's fine.
Help
yeah.
it go down.
It was really good.
We're going to kind of switch up, I guess, the chats in terms of genre then from Green Man. We're going to talk about Frank Ocean first.
I couldn't gauge your fears. I can't relate to my peers. I'd rather live outside. I'd rather chip my pride than
Siegfried New from the Frank Ocean LP called Blonde. Will Hodgkinson, this is a kind of LP that defies categorisation in many ways, isn't it? Talk us through this one.
Well, the thing that really strikes me about Frank Ocean is the fact that it's so popular. That's what I find very heartening and very strange, because there's a lot of stuff around which is kind of, you know, it sounds to me like a mix of the Cocteau Twins, but then you've got his voice, which is very much American R&B. And then a kind of dreamy, sort of reverie feel. There's been quite a bit of that around. No one has done it as well as him, for a start. But, you know, it's really not commercial. These aren't songs. They don't really have hooks or verses or choruses in the normal sense. And yet, here it is. It's number one at the moment. To me, that's absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, how does this happen? Do we have a general goodwill to people that have done interesting stuff in the past? I know that Frank Ocean has kind of... He's had a mysterious career somehow, hasn't he? I mean, he's kind of kept people interested somehow.
He has, but I do feel, you know, as a music journalist, you often get PRs playing sort of...
Who games. Could he possibly be?
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, mystery games and all this kind of stuff. And you sniff it out for the PR stunt it is very, very quickly. The thing with Frank Ocean is that the music really is interesting and deep. I mean, this is a heartbreak song. And... You know, it's got these very kind of poetic lyrics that are hard to understand, but at the same time, you know what he's singing about. He's singing about loss, and he's singing about not fitting in. And you have this very interesting music, kind of rich music, and of course, he's got an amazing voice. So I think all of that stuff helps, you know, and because the music's hard to grasp, it kind of makes sense that we don't know much about him. It would ruin it if he's, you know, tweeting about what you have for breakfast every day. But at the same time, it wouldn't mean anything if it didn't have this depth in the first place. I mean, it reminds me in a way of Brian Eno or something like that, you know, the kind of very abstract atmosphere of music. And so, yeah, I just think it's an amazing achievement. And like I said, I think the really significant thing is that it's in the mainstream, which in a way it shouldn't be.
And he's sort of aided and abetted on the album. It's called Blonde, by some, you know, megastars, Kendrick Lamar and Beyonce, who kind of, I think, were front and centre. And then he's kind of sort of said, do you know what? I'll just put you down to sort of, you know, if it were an 8-track recording studio, they'd be kind of somewhere down near the drum track. Right?
That's exactly it.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's remarkable. Beyonce, you know, I mean, to have the chutzpah to get Beyonce in, and then I think you can just about hear her on one track doing a few, you know, little harmonizing in the back. I mean, this song has, I think it excerpts a Beatles song, but also it references an Elliot Smith song. Elliot Smith being the late songwriter is kind of...
Many R&B stars do that.
Not many R&B stars do that. And I think he does have a great love of indie. You know, he was pictured wearing a Juice and Mary Chain t-shirt. Definitely Cocteau Twins there. There's no doubt about that. And then, you know, using Elliot Smith, who's this kind of, you know, the great hero of the sort of indie misfits. So he's an interesting guy. It does defy categorisation, but... Beyond any kind of hype, it really is interesting, thoughtful, deep music, and that's ultimately why people are interested.
Okay, it's beautiful stuff. It's Frank Ocean. We heard Siegfried. The album is called Blonde. It is number one now, as recommended by Will Hodgkinson, who's going to shuffle his deck of musical cards a little bit to talk about Britney Spears now.
Britney.
Another comeback album.
Dark mascara dripping down my face. Only fools could ever feel this way. Send my message into outer space. Wonder if it's gonna float your way. I can't compete.
All right, a little bit of Man on the Moon, new from Britney Spears from the album called Glory. Why are we talking about Britney Spears in 2016, Will?
We're talking about her because a few years ago I went to see Britney Spears and it was probably the worst concert I'd ever been to in my life. It was a few years after the famous breakdown.
Yeah.
And it felt like she'd been trotted out there. You know, it reminded me of that film They Shoot Horses, Don't They? About the Depression era dances where they had to go on for 24 hours and go on and on until they collapsed. It was like that. Someone had just shoved her out there. You know, everything was slow and out of time and clearly miming, and it was really not good. And around the same time, she did this awful album, and I thought, well, Britney Spears shouldn't be a pop star anymore. You know, she was destroyed by it all. It was horrible. She should just be allowed to have a quieter life. And then she came out with this album, and I thought, this is a really good pop album. It's very innocent. It's got a kind of the sadness of the party girl. You know, this song is about, you know, staring up in the sky and, you know, looking out the window, imagining the man in the moon and missing her boyfriend or missing the person who's, you know, who's finished with her. And I just felt, as pure pop, which it is, and it's not groundbreaking in any way, it's borrowing from trends that are around at the moment anyway, I just thought this is a really good example of pure pop. It's fun, it's got a zest to it, and it's Britney. So that's why we're listening to it.
It's her ninth studio album. People will know that, you know, the Beatles and the Stones in the 60s have to made so many records one after the other because they thought this rock thing was only going to last for 6 months. And here we are in 2016 talking about Britney Spears' ninth studio album. There is something of that about it.
Well, there is.
You stay around and you'll get, I don't know, respect will cling to you. Right,
I think that's true. I think that's true. I think, you know, she's 35, which isn't that old at all in life, but it's quite old for pure pop stars.
Yeah.
She has got through all this stuff. And I think there's definitely an element to that. You know, there's a thing, well, we saw everything she went through. We saw her make these albums which are really below par. And then she comes back with this pretty good album. And you think, well, that took a lot. And I think we admire bravery and we admire, you know, pluck and hard work and people just doing it. And it's also kind of, it's not trying to make a point. That's what I felt. It's just, it really is a pop album. It's not sort of, she hasn't suddenly gone down a sort of drill and bass direction. You know, it's pop.
And it's one of those things, she could be the sort of, she could be the pop Dolly Parton at 35. You know, she's a survivor. She's a gay icon. You know, everybody kind of loves her. Everyone remembers fondly, oops, I did it again, et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose there is something of that about her somehow.
There's definitely an element to that. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's an undeniable tackiness to Britney Spears. You know, she's doing Las Vegas at the moment. She's never been cool. You know, she's always been quite camp and quite over the top and sort of tackiness. And again, if you do that long enough, that tackiness becomes very, very appealing and almost has a kind of depth. You know, it's all so superficial, it's deep.
Yeah.
Britney Spears has definitely won my respect.
There's also, I mean, we're having this huge 90s moment at the moment. I mean, there is a bit of her career kind of coming full circle and doing this pure pop stuff, which is what she started doing. It might have a little hint of introspection in the lyrics and stuff rather than literally rhyming about bubblegum. But I guess there is an element of what goes around and comes around as well.
There's definitely an element to that. And there's also a thing of people much younger than me, so, you know, like kids in their sort of late teens and early 20s, don't have the tribalism that I used to have when I was younger. So, you know, when I grew up, I was into indie and rock and roll and everything, and pure pop was just, you know, you didn't go there.
Anathema to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas now, I think because of the way music is consumed now, online mostly, That doesn't really bear, it doesn't work. So, you know, you could definitely be in a club and they could play a Britney song next to a, you know, I don't know, a Jesus and Mary Jane or Pixies song, you know, or the, you know, the latest one by Savages. You know, it could all kind of fit in. So I think there's an element of that too.
Okay, nice one, Britney. Will was talking there about Britney Spears' album, new album, Glory. We heard a cut from it called Man on the Moon. Prove that it is not all just eclecticism, but wild eclecticism on this show. That was Tim Buckley and Lady, Give Me Your Key. Well, I know that this is one of your favourites, and also this has been crate dug from one of your favourite labels. Tell us a little bit about this and where it came from.
This is a bunch of unreleased recordings which have been dug up, crate dug, as you say, by Light in the Attic. It's one of my favourite labels, and they specialise in this kind of thing. And this is super, super rare. It was an acetate that was discovered by Larry Beckett, who is Tim's songwriter, his lyricist, and they worked together. And there are two. It's made up of two. There's one acetate, and there's a collection of demos, which were never intended for release. They were used to try and get him a record deal and get single interest. And Lady Give Me Your Key, this song, was going to be the first single when Elektra Records thought that he was a singles artist and he'd be a pop star. Of course, it didn't happen at all that way. I mean, yeah. He made a series of highly acclaimed but commercially disastrous albums, all very, very different. So this came from his kind of Baroque folk period. And what I love about it is it's got, you know, Lady Give Me Your Key. It's got a kind of medievalism, a sort of Renaissance feel to it.
It could be a madrigal by the sound of it.
Yeah, it could be. And you've got that incredible voice. But actually what he was singing about, which I never would have guessed, Lady Give Me Your Key was typical Tim Buckley naughtiness. They were singing about Lady Give Me a Kilo of Grass. What he's talking about was like trying
give
to
give me
score.
Your dusty key.
Exactly. So he was. It was a. The goal was. They said that they had this idea for a single. They wanted to do a thing which Dylan did, and Everybody Must Get Stoned, and the Stones did as well with My Connection, where they were singing about sex and drugs at the same time, and the song seemed to be about wooing a girl, but actually it was about scoring drugs, which is what, you know, those songs are about. So that's what they were doing, and it was very clever, and it was subversive because this was meant to be their big FM radio hit, which, of course, it wasn't. But it was, you know, ultimately singing about drugs in the most innocent-sounding way possible.
And it's an interesting thing, as you said, this is a light in the attic production, or this is where this has come from, where it's going to be released. What's it like, I mean, when you're into this genre of music, especially this is the place where all these songs come from, I guess, sort of hidden recordings, Dylan's bootlegs and all the rest of it. When they're not intended for sort of release and you're listening to them as a release, do you have to give them, as a critic and as a fan and as a general listener, do you have to give them a little bit more leeway? Do you listen to them in the same way, I wonder?
That's a really good question. It's something which I struggle with a lot. There is a collection by Jeff Buckley, Tim's son. Yeah. Came out recently. I hated it. It felt very exploitative. It was just not very good takes of famous songs, some live recordings. And, you know, famously, he made this one album, Grace, and it's brilliant. And that was all he ever did. And I felt it diluted it. Now, with this, I mean, you could argue it's the same thing, but for some reason, I love this. I think there's a historical element. I think, you know, Tim Buckley, these recordings were almost 50 years old. And there's a feeling of kind of unearthing something that wasn't there before. I mean, it gets a little bit ridiculous when you have, there's a Dylan box set that came out recently, and I think it had something like, I don't know, there's like 50 versions of the same song, and you know, this kind of stuff, you know, it gets to the point where...
It's lunacy, yeah. What am I going
to
do with that?
Will I ever sit down and listen to this when I've got a spare 2 weeks, you know, to go through the 17 CDs? So there is a kind of lunacy, but I think Light in the Attic are very good because what they do is they do these very nice short products. And so this has only got about 10 songs. But they're all very nice. Some of them will be recognisable. They ended up on Happy Sad, his first album. Sorry, Goodbye and Hello. There are other ones which have never been heard before at all. And I think because it's kind of slimmed down and the recordings are really great, simple, but great. So for me, it works.
It's come from a good place as well, as you say. I kind of think a 10-track album is something you can digest. You can get to know the songs a little better than being lost in a jungle of sort of B-sides and acoustic versions and this, that, and the other.
And you can kind of feel it with releases. You know, I felt with the Jeff Buckley one, it had the feel of a quick buck. You know what I mean? It had the feel. It was a major label release. It was just unearthed. It's, you know, there wasn't much love behind it. No particular, you know, nice production of the album. Whereas Light in the Attic are very good at that. They actually take a lot of care to do these things, which they know aren't going to sell that much. But, you know, they're really for collectors. And so I think this is definitely worth getting. Anyone who's into Tim Buckley should definitely hear this.
Okay, that is Tim Buckley. The album is called The Unissued 1967 Solo Acoustic Sessions. It's from the ever-reliable Light in the Attic. And before that, we heard Britney Spears. The album Glory is out now. And we started the show with Frank Ocean. That album, Blonde, is number one right now. My thanks to Will Hodgkinson for leading us a merry dance through that eclectic mixture here on the Monocle Arts Review. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And my producer as well was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be talking television. But for the time being, from me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in.